Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 107.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork. Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help as many interested people around the world learn and improve at jazz piano by providing structured and organized jazz piano education. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for joining me on today's episode number 107. This is going to be the second part in this series going over a lab upgrade formula I've taken directly from the new lab that we're going to be launching, and I do have a launch release date for everyone interested out there. And that is going to be December 4th. I just had to check real fast just to make sure I wasn't giving out the wrong date. December 4th at 10 a.m. Pacific. Now, the lab will be open if you go to... We have been promoting the waiting list. Now, there's going to be not a waiting list, but a priority list, rather, where those people will get extra special priority into the lab, and you can go sign up for that at jazzpianoschool.com/lab launch. But if you go to that same URL at 10 a.m., that page will be live to join the lab if you are interested, and also obviously everyone who has signed up for the priority list, and you know, if you're on our email list in general, we'll get announcements and details about it. But December 4th, Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, so 1 a.m. Eastern, that is when we're going to be opening up our lab. Now again, this is going to be different than the main course curriculum, which we have, which is over 600 videos. Now, just to give you a little heads up, we're going to be removing the main course curriculum from a subscription-based model. So right now, if you go onto the site, the only thing that you can subscribe for is the main course curriculum, which is like 600 videos. It's massive, right? It's just this massive hunk of jazz education that you can move through, sequentially, which is amazing, you know, for some people. Some people want to upgrade specific areas that they're playing very, very quickly, and I don't blame you. I mean, I would love to do that as well, and I wish I had the lab coming up when I was going through jazz piano education. But sometimes you just need to improve a certain area, right? Like you're killing improv, but your comping stinks. Or, you know, you know how to comp and voice things, but you just can't solo well, right? You can't improv well. Or, you know, you can play with a group well, but you can't play solo piano. So the main curriculum is more for people who are really looking to move up and improve all of their skills in a well-rounded manner, because it's a sequential curriculum, right? Beginner, intermediate, and advanced. When you move through all that, you're basically getting just all of the education you could possibly need all at once, right? With the lab, you're going to be getting small upgrade formulas that you get to pick and choose whether or not, you know, what you want to work on, and they're quick, they're efficient, you know, a couple days, you can work on these, move through the practice exercises and start to improve it, whatever you want. Or if you, you know, if you take a week, whatever, but they really shouldn't take longer than 1 to 2 weeks, like at most, to move through the upgrade formulas. Now, we have 21 of them, and we're going to be releasing many more to come, 2 to 3 a month, possibly 2, possibly 1, you know, a month, depending upon our schedules and things like that. But at least 1 per month, we're going to be releasing a new upgrade formula. So it's going to really it's going to be awesome. And what I meant to tell you is that if you guys haven't signed up for anything yet, this is going to be your last chance up until we release the lab on December 4th. If you go sign up for the main curriculum right now through the website, you're going to get reserved access to the lab when it is released. So if you are a member with Jazz Piano School and you're still a member up until we release the lab on December 4th, you will get access to the lab. Okay, so that's just a cool thing, because we are removing the subscription to the main curriculum, but you'll still be able to subscribe and you'll get access to the main curriculum and you'll get access to the lab as well. If you just want access to the lab, you can just wait for the launch and do that. Now, after that date, in order to get access to the main curriculum, it's going to be purchase only. So you're only going to be able to just purchase the main curriculum, beginner, intermediate, advanced, all as one package. And it's not going to be a subscription anymore. So just to give you guys a heads up on that. So another cool thing, obviously, I've talked about this a lot. And I'm sorry. I mean, it's just like we're going through a promotional period. It's like when they're doing the promotions for giving, right, on NPR or something. It's like you turn on the radio, you just want to hear some music, and it's just like, oh, they're just asking you for money forever. But I'm sorry. I apologize. But we are going through this promotional phase, so just bear with me. And I want to let people know, you know, that's the reason I do this is because if you don't hear me talking about this, you're not going to know. And some people could miss out on the chance. And again, it's just like that time that you've signed up for something. You're like, man, I'm really glad I took advantage of that, right? I think about the times, like I can recall so many different times where someone let me know, or I see an ad, or I saw a flyer for, I don't know, something. And I was like, oh, this is something I've been meaning to do. And I went and did it. And I was like, man, I'm so happy that person or that ad or that whatever, that advertisement on TV or marketing flyer or whatever, like I'm so glad I saw that because I wouldn't have gotten a chance to take advantage of that. So that's why I'm talking about this for all the people out there. But one of the other sections that you probably may not know that we're going to be adding in, and this was a last minute decision, is going to be an artist highlight area. And so what we're going to do for that is, I know you know about the gig analysis, the upgrade formulas, the podcast materials, all that good stuff, and discounts on other products as well when you're a lab member. But this artist highlight, we're going to take an artist every month and we're going to go in depth, right? We're going to go really far in depth into a specialized area of their playing. So in a certain tune or something like that, but we're really going to analyze their comping style, their improv style, exactly what their approach is in that particular area. Give transcription, gives voice over analysis of videos, you know, of that person playing, walking you through exactly what they're doing with the transcription. We're going to give you practice materials to actually implement, you know, or help you create the sound or atmosphere that that artist is creating, you know. So Brad has his own sound, Keith has his own sound, you know, Herbie, Chick, you know, Oscar Peterson, Errol Garner, Teddy Wilson, I mean, all these great, Bud Powell, these guys have their own sounds, and because of specific elements in their sound, right, that's what helps create them. So every month we're going to take an artist, go over certain elements that actually are make up the sound that they are creating, right? So you can incorporate those sounds into your playing. It's going to be fantastic. And then again, obviously, you know, we're going to be adding those every month. So maybe one or two even per month. The lab is going to keep growing, and this launch is going to be, obviously, we're launching it at a celebration opening price and discount. So again, now is the time to take advantage of that. JazzPianoSchool.com/lab launch. JazzPianoSchool.com/lab launch. Yes. And again, you can get on the priority list now, or when we release December 4th, Monday at 10 a.m., you can go to that URL and you will be able to join the lab for the big discount. Okay. So we are talking about the two-hand voicing building system, which is an upgrade formula. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about how exactly to integrate it into tunes and just give you a couple tips of how you can start to manipulate this and use it in a lot of different ways through 251s, through movements and things like that. So with that being said, hope I didn't bore you to death. Hope you're still listening. Let's dive right into this episode. All right, so with our two-hand voicing series, as we're continuing on, now again, just to review real quickly, we have setup number one. Setup number one is going to be 1 and 7. For example, if I have a G7 chord, right, I have 1 and 7. I'm going to take my right hand, play the other shell, and it's going to be the third. This is setup number one, all right, right here. Guess I should use a little better technique than the monk style, right? So setup number two is going to be 1 and 3, and then 7 in our right hand. Now, again, the reason we do this, you might say, well, Brendan, we could just do this, right? Yes, but sometimes for voice leading, it's going to be easier to do this to this rather than this to this. You see that jump I have to make when I go from 1 and 7 to 1 and 7 and 3 again? When we're voice leading, we want to make things as smooth as possible. So doing this to this, right? So 1 and 7, 3, and then 1 and 3 and 7 is much easier. It's going to allow your comping and flow and everything to just, you know, it's going to be like water. It's going to be like silk, just moving through the chords without jumping, without having to reach for anything. So much more smoother when we use setup number two instead of jumping, right? Now, setup number three is going to be 1 and 3, a tenth apart. So for example, 1 and 3. Now, if you can't reach this, all you got to do is jump, right? Pinky to thumb. Now, again, this is very important. I'm going to show you a couple of reasons why, but setup number three is a really great thing to have in your toolbox. And again, when you play 1 and 3, right, your right hand would take that seventh. And now it doesn't always have to be with a thumb, okay? And those are some of the things I'm going to talk about today, but just so you know, right? Something like this that might happen, okay? So going back to setup number one, all right? Now, we've learned the setups. We practiced the setups, hopefully. I'm going to show you, the first thing I'm going to show you is obviously voice leading through 251. Now, this is going to be a very, very simple process. If we do this, okay, our right hand's going to stay the same. This is a G minor 7. Our right hand will stay the same on the 7. We'll move to setup number 2 and then back to setup number 1. Right? So that's a voice leading of the setups through a 251. Now, to finish off, we can also go to setup number 3. So I can do this. Setup number 1, setup number 2, and then to setup number 3 if I want. Now that's more of a bigger jump, right? I wouldn't necessarily recommend that, but it is possible. So if I played something like this, right, and then I wanted to spread it out, you know, you might hear a line like that, right? Now, obviously playing my top voice here, up here, right, you heard this line. That's what connects it. So when I'm just voice leading like this, it sounds, you know, kind of like iffy, but when I added my other chords, it's very beautiful, right? So that's where we're going to start to take these, this two-hand voicing building system, is it starts to expand outward into other areas, other possibilities and flexibility of extensions through self-expression that you want to self-express. You're not copying anybody, right? So again, here's our 251, okay? Here's our 251 going to three. Oops, sorry. Going to setup number 3. Okay. Now, from here, what can we do, right? What can we do with this? So again, building upwards, okay, is up to you. So we can add the 5 in here. We can double the 7. We can add the 9. Now, this is just a rootless voice. I believe I talked about this in the last episode, right? But we can add any sort of extensions we want. Again, this may be a little bit of review for you, but we have all the necessary components. So what does that mean? Everything else is like the cherry on top, right? It's like the ice cream on top of the cone, right? So we have the foundation. Now everything else is going to be basically colors and just atmosphere and textures, right? So I could do this, right? And again, you kind of need to know some theory and understanding of your extensions. If you don't, then this isn't going to make sense to you. But people always ask me, the funny thing about this is, people always look for voicings, right? Everyone's always like, hey, can you show me a new voicing? Well, can you teach me a new voicing? So I could show you this, right? And then you'd know how to play this, or I could show you, you know, I could show you this, right? Or I could show you this, or I could show you this. All of those voicings would be great. So you would have learned 4 voicings that I just taught you. But the problem with teaching you or education that teaches you like that manner, right? You can go to other websites and they'll show you different voicings. They'll be like, here are 5 cool voicings that you can learn. You know, now I don't necessarily have a problem with that, but it's limiting you, right? It's not teaching you how to fish. It's just giving you fish so you can eat for a day. Okay, you now know 4 voicings. Whereas when you learn the tools of jazz piano, the core tool elements like this two-hand voicing building system, you're learning to fish. You're learning to actually use the core elements of jazz piano to create your own voicing. So after we learn this bottom bass foundation and you learn extensions, you can start to create any voicings you want. You can start to voice them however you want, right? So if I choose to use setup number 3 here, I can do this. I could do this. I can do anything I want. That's the greatest thing about this, is that it's creating freedom in my playing. It's not just allowing, it's not just having me copy, right? Again, I've learned to fish. I'm not just eating for a day. So I can do anything I want. Now, do we always have to put the thumb, this was another thing I mentioned previously, on the top and then spread upward? No, we don't have to, right? So if I use setup number 3, I do want the 7th in my chord, for example, over the G minor 7, right? Now, this doesn't mean I have to put my thumb here and spread outward up, even though I can. If I want a huge voicing, I can absolutely do this, right? I could do that if I want, or this. You know, all that matters is I have these 3 important notes, bass and shells, okay, which is giving me. But I can fill in a texture, a soft texture that's kind of thick and muddied in the middle. That's beautiful. I love that texture. I mean, right? You know, that's a really pretty texture. You can start to experiment with taking out notes, putting some notes in, right? I could take out the 13th if I want. Just do this. I could add the 9 up here. I could add the root. I could put the 13th back in and take out the 5, right? I could move the root up to a 9. I could take the 11th out. I can add the 5th back in, right? I can take the fifth and I can put it on top. I can double the third. I can put the 11th in. Do you see the freedom that I have now? I really hope that when you're listening to this, you're understanding that this is true jazz piano freedom. I'm self-expressing however I want instead of copying someone's voicings that they've shown me, right? I get to pick and choose. I get to paint however I want. And that's what we're always trying to achieve in jazz piano truly is because self-expression of our true inner soul equals happiness, right? And that's what we all want. We want to be able to express what we want inside of us rather than kind of playing someone else's voicings or doing what someone else does, because even though it sounds good, it's still like, it's not us, right? All of us want to just be able to be ourselves. I'm getting kind of deep here, but it's true, right? So again, back to kind of got off on a tangent there, but back to this, right? We don't always have to put our thumb up here, just so you know. You can go upwards or you can build downwards. Same with this, right? If I want to create a smaller voicing that's not so stretched out, maybe like this or this, I can just do this, right? 1, 7, 9, 3. That's a beautiful voicing, right? I could add the fifth here, right? I could go to this. I could go to the flat nine, right? So I could go, right? 1, 7, 9, 3, 5, flat nine, and then I could add the nine in here, right? So there's different ways you can do it. Now, obviously, like I said before, the first thing you want to do is practice your 2-5-1s, voice leading through your 2-5-1s. Now, this is going to help you tremendously in solo piano as well. Now, when you're playing solo piano, you have different types of melodies, right? So let's say, let's say you have a melody. I should have grabbed a melody for this, but I didn't. Right? If we played "But Not For Me," right? When you go to harmonize a melody, you want to pick your melody note. Now, this is a very brief harmonization lesson about solo piano, but you want to pick your melody note. Now, if I land on this F, right, this is going to be a good distance for me to look at my bass note. It's a G chord, right? So I can get my G here. I can play setup number one and then simply put the melody in, right? And that works perfectly. Now, the next chord, right? So it's more of like a C-sus going to C7. Those aren't the original chords. The original chords are more of a 1-6-2-5. But if I did this, I could do that, right? And that brings me back. So I have setup one, right? Going to setup three. But I'm playing, since I can't reach this, right? I'm just jumping because I can't reach it either, right? And then back to setup one. So people ask, you know, playing solo piano, most of the time someone might play like this, right? You know, with just your root position chords. But when you know these two-hand voicing building system setups, you can start to harmonize and rearrange your tunes so that your hands and your voice leading is actually working with the melody, so that you're using all three of the setups, you know, wherever the melody goes. It doesn't matter. You can always use these setups. You know, if I were a bell too, it's the same thing. You know? So when you use them, you can use the setups anywhere in tunes. Take the melody, use the best setup that works for the 2-5-1, or even if it's a out of a progression, you know, let's say the progression goes from G minor to B flat minor, right, down to A minor, maybe to D flat minor, right? So out here, I'm using setup number one, and again, I'm just moving the setups, right? This is all setup number one, and again, I have the nine on top here. Now again, if you realize this is actually creating a drop two voicing, right? Because we're removing the seventh here out of a rootless voicing. And again, another just point that if you didn't really know about, you know, drop twos or rootless voicings, and I just showed you this voicing, you know, you'd just have learned this voicing. You wouldn't have learned anything else. So knowing the two-hand voicings and the rootless and drop two and stuff like that, you're really going to be able to increase your flexibility options. Now, through a 2-5-1, again, we can go to our 1 and 3. This is setup two. Setup one, setup two, setup three. Now here again, there's my setup number three. I am using the 7 here, but I'm using sharp 9, flat 13. I can go to setup 3 here. I like that as well. And we don't have to play, right? A lot of times when I'm comping, this is a little nugget inside this lesson, but I rarely ever comp. I'm going to do a whole podcast on this because I think it's amazing. I mean, it's just immensely helpful with your comping technique. So many people will comp full chords together, right? So let me just count 1, 2, 3, 4. Right? Now that kind of sounds weird. Does that sound weird, right? I mean, if we do it up here, right? Sorry about my little clicks. I'm doing the offbeat. It's just a habit of mine. But that's just comping full chords. Now, the thing that's going to really help, I don't even know if this is a word, rhythmize, right? Basically, what I'm trying to say is add rhythm to your comping. Is the brokenness in your left hand. Now, again, that's a whole nother podcast episode, but when you break up your setup in your left hand, you see that? Do you see what's going on? It's just like, oh, that's a whole different ball game happening right there, right? Besides just doing, it sounds so much better. It swings more and you have more rhythm. You're rhythmonizing, right? I'm going to make that a word. You're rhythmonizing. You're comping, and listen to the difference. So again, there's a lot more that goes into it. I was just kind of giving you small examples, but you can break up your left hand is my point, right? So if I play this, or even if I play a full chord, I might hit the bass and go one and, right? So one and two and three and four and one and two and three and four, one and two and three and four. Sorry, I couldn't count there. Again, you can roll up. I did a little roll up here. You can play the note first, then hit your bass note rather than just doing. So another cool thing you do with the setups. So essentially, again, you have full motion. Now let's talk about movements where it's not in a 2-5-1 in registers, right? So register has a huge, huge impact in your comping, right? So I am comping in F, the key of F. Now when you move into different keys, your comping approach and style needs to change because not all registers lend themselves to certain types of setups. Okay, this setup right here is going to be much different than if I played this in D, right? That's very low. Or let's say I played a D, right? I can't use setup 1 down here. It's a little too low. So I might use setup number 3 to start, right? You hear the difference there? So instead of doing this, that's way too low. Okay, so as you start to morph down into the lower registers, so F, right, getting down into the key of E flat, let's say, even E flat, I would start to let go of the root here and just do more drop twos until I got to more of a spread. Like this third down here is a little too low for me. So, right, you could jump down to the bass note. But it still works. It basically, if you want to do this, that kind of works. Now, as you start to get into the key of D, the key of C, right? Again, definitely the key of C. This is getting too low. So, at that point, when you switch registers, you have to move into your other setups. You have to start using setup number 3 more. And I think a lot of that's where the disconnect is for a lot of people comping. And especially with solo piano, too. This is where it really starts to get just genius and brilliant, this the use of this system, because when you have melodies up here in this register, right, you know, all this stuff, I was trying to think of melody, I couldn't, but if I'm playing a melody here, right, this stuff is awesome because this register right here, the key of F necessarily, allows just for beautiful spreads right in this section. Now, lower end melodies, if you have something down here, right? Anything down here, it's like, what do you do? Like, how do you voice that? That's where your lower setups are going to come from. And especially even around middle C, like C to G, this kind of stuff. So again, here, I have to use 1 and 3 here. There's no way I can use 1 and 7 or even 1 and 3 down here. I have to use 1 and 3 a tenth apart, put my 7 in here. And I went flat 13 to the 7, so I add an extension in there first. And again, you can, I'm getting so amped up and excited about this. There's a small little tip here. If you're playing a chord, right, you don't necessarily have to play your thumb. The reason I'm teaching you this way is so you know the structure, you know why, right? Now you know why when you see a chord like this, it's not really saying, okay, you're playing E, G, A, D in your left hand. What is happening here is that you're taking setup number 3's 10th with your right hand. Right? This is how I want you to visualize the chords because you need to know this foundation first. Now, if you hadn't learned this foundation, you wouldn't know that you're essentially taking the note from your left hand. But you need to know that because otherwise you'd think this is a voicing. And it is a voicing in general. This is more of like a chord with your bass hand, with the left hand bass. But again, you should know that this is the foundation. So if I went like this, you don't necessarily have to do it this way. You can take it. This is much easier access, right? Especially if you can't reach the tenths. So have your right hand take that. And then again, right? Here's our 1 and 3, our setup number 3. So here's our 7th and our melody. I'm playing whatever melody that would be, right? And then back into, So here's setup 1. So I actually went to another setup 1. So if here's setup 1, if the melody moves up here, right, for example, on the 2-5, that's kind of, you could do that, but it sounds a little low. That's why I jumped up again. So that's an example of when you might jump from setup 1 to setup 1. It's rare, but sometimes it's happened. So if I went from this, right, so I went up to another setup 1. Back to setup number 3, okay? So that's kind of how you're going to move around. And again, the register is going to depend on what setups you're going to use and how you're going to do that. And again, the only way you can get used to this is by working through the voicing of your 2-5-1s and your 5-1s or your 2-5-1-6s, right? Work on those progressions because obviously you're going to see those the most in all jazz tunes. Now, just to kind of leave you guys with the last little thing here, when stuff is moving around, stuff meaning chords and progressions, I call them stuff sometimes, you know, the stuff, the chords, the progressions. So when stuff is moving around, all you have to do is just whatever works best. Like sometimes you'll see a string of dominant chords moving down. So if you're playing a C7 chord, let's say, and you're comping, you could do this. Right? That's all setup 1. Right? That's not going to be a voice leading progression because that's a string of dominants. And all we need to do here, right, is voice lead into, right, our next setup. We're just going down by half steps. There's no reason to move to a different setup. Whereas, let's say we're going from a G dominant 7, right, in a 2-5, or let's say we go to, let's say we're going to a D7, okay? So from here, this is going to be pretty easy as well. We don't really need to do too much. I would use 1 and 3, right? You know, so that's all that would be, right? So you want to look for the closest setup to use. Now, seconds and thirds are more where you're going to stay the same. So if I went from a G7 to a B-flat 7, that's essentially where I would start to just use the same setup and just shift it. Anything past that, right? Let's say I went to a B7. That's kind of a weird change. You're not going to see that a lot. But let's say you did, or let's say we're playing F major 7. You hear this progression a lot. Right? So the third, 3-7. So we have one. We have setup number 1 here, going to setup number 1 again. Right? So I still would use setup number 1. So anytime, so I guess as a general rule, when you use, when you're starting on a chord, and anything past a 2-5 relation, meaning a fourth, right? So if you use, if I go to a fourth here, I'm going to voice lead my setups. Anything between a 1 and a fourth interval, I'm not going to change my setup at all, right? And again, 1 to 5, I basically switch, right, to the setup number 3. That's basically any for any chord like, you know, to kind of the old dreamy tunes, you know, going from the 1 to the augmented, right? So I'd use my 1 and 3 there, 1 and 7. So I'm going setup 1 to setup 3, right? And then putting my 7 in here. And my stride is just chord, right? I'm just kind of pulsing this note. You can go back and forth as you want as well. But those are kind of some tips, right? So as you move around, things to keep in mind, you just got to watch out for the register. You got to watch out for whether you're going to voice lead your setups or not. And again, that's going to come through practice. So what you want to do now is practice all your setups, practice through your 2-5-1s, practice through different tunes, right? Just take random tunes, practice comping, okay, comping through that, working on your different setups. If you're more advanced player, practice adding extensions into your setups, right? You know, however you want. And again, add those extensions on top of your setups in order to bring out color and atmospheres using the two-hand voicing building system. All right? So I hope that has helped, guys. In the next, let me see, it's Thanksgiving week, Friday, yeah, after Thanksgiving week. And then there's, yeah, we're going to do, the next two videos are going to be analysis. So you're going to get to see some of the gig analysis. Excuse me, from that's going to be contained in the lab. So I'm going to give you a sample. Now, for you, those of you guys listening on the podcast audio, right? We have podcast video and podcast audio. To find the video, obviously go to YouTube to listen to the full length audio where I talk more to the subscribers and followers. Go to iTunes and listen to the Jazz Piano School podcast. But in these gig analysis, there's going to be a video attached on our blog or on YouTube that you're going to be able to see. And basically, it's just going to be a live sample of the gig analysis videos that you're going to get. And I'm going to be talking, you know, about what's being played, how I'm playing it, what my thought process is. So there's actually going to be a live gig of me playing at a gig, and I'm just going to walk you through everything I'm doing. So I think it'll be cool. I think it'll be fun. I think people will get a lot out of that too. Instead of just lessons. I mean, all of these podcasts are lessons, right? You never get to see kind of live action material. So I think that's it'll really be helpful. I'm looking forward to getting feedback from you guys on whether that is helpful as well, you know, to you. I don't know what happened there, but lost my train of thought kind of. But that is that for the second series of the two-hand voicing building system. Again, December 4th, lab is opening. Go to jazzpianoschool.com/lab launch for everything, for the priority waiting list and for the lab launch when we open it on December 4th, Monday, 10 a.m. Pacific. Okay? Hope you guys enjoyed this. Until I talk to you next time, happy practicing.